yourself blameless with the purified, you deal purely. With the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. You are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge, and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer, and set me secure on the heights. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did, not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe your master? Or, oh my master, he said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the night of the Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. Thus far the text. Charges were brought to him that this man was wasting the master's possessions. This is how the dishonest manager got his nickname. It's not that he was treating people unfairly, making people lie about their time cards or embezzling funds. No, his dishonesty is rooted in wasting the possessions that he was supposed to manage. For when you are entrusted with property that is not yours for the sake of management, you sometimes begin to think that the stuff actually belongs to you. You serve yourselves instead of the real owner. And that is dishonest. In the world of business, this might take the form of using the company car for personal business, or using the company credit card for purchases unrelated to work, or cashing in personally for research done on company time. Of course, if the boss approves of such things, there's no wrongdoing. The owner of the business may well grant such privileges. But in the Lord's parable, the owner found out another way, saying, "What is this that I hear?" The dishonest manager has been caught breaking the seventh commandment, not necessarily by outright theft, but by poor stewardship of the resources entrusted to him. As you confess from the small catechism regarding the seventh commandment, "You shall not steal." What does this mean? You should fear and love God so that you do not take your neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. The protagonist of the Lord's parable is dishonest because of his poor stewardship. He squanders that which is not his own, rather than helping the boss to improve and protect his possessions and income. All Christians are stewards, managers of property that doesn't really belong to you. You are given the gifts that the Lord provides, especially life, liberty, and property. Even though you become so entitled as to believe that you own that which belongs to God, the deep reality is that these gifts are only on loan to you by the Lord. He breathes life into you, and then he recalls you according to his will. He grants you freedom to move about wherever you want, but may also, by allowing persecution, infirmity, or financial limitations, may cause you to stay in one place. He provides you, whether directly or by opportunity, with the daily bread you need to support your body and life, including necessities and luxuries, including money and property. And you are to manage all of these things, even your very lives, for the sake of the kingdom. So where does the kingdom of God fit into your priorities? If you get a raise, it is the initial thought, "Man, I can't wait to give more to the Lord first." clean plate in order to save for a vacation? Are the tickets to the game more inspiring to you than the spread of the Holy Gospel through the work of the church? Do you spend more time shopping for clothes that you don't need than you do clothing to be given to the impoverished brethren here and around the world who lack simple necessities of life? And what about your time, dear friends? Do you spend more time on Facebook than you do in the Holy Book? Is even a one-hour service of God torturous, while a double overtime or extra innings of a sporting event can go by in a blink of an eye without a complaint? Are you more enamored with television celebrities than you are the holy prophets, apostles, and saints of the church? Do you know the words of the pop songs better than the hymns and the liturgy of the church? These are hard questions, because none are very good at stewardship. There are none good. No, none at all. Compared to the rest of the world, you live like kings and queens in these United States. And yet, your churches have to struggle to meet the most basic bills that need to be paid. Brothers and sisters, this is dishonest management. You need to take a good hard look at how you manage your time and money, your talents, and your very bodies. And you can start by examining how you view God. As King David speaks to God, with the merciful you show yourself merciful, with the blameless man you show yourself blameless, with the purified you deal purely, with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. Is God imposing upon your time and your treasures? Does Christianity cramp your style of life? Do you offer sacrifices of your possessions and time once in a while when you feel like it? By the grace of God, dear friends, be repenting and believing. By the grace of God, be continuing to repent with the urgency of the dishonest manager who sought to save his own skin. The Lord has not taken away your management yet. He is patient and leaves time for ongoing repentance. By the grace of God, honest management and good stewardship can still take place by the grace of God. And now is that time. The dishonest manager's plan is radical because he realizes the dire straits he is in, but it's a blessed realization. And though his solution is to cheat, the owner sees into the manager's heart. Jesus said the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, not for his cheating. For his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. The unbelievers operate with more shrewdness than do you Christians. And even though the Lord Jesus has given you everything as a free gift, has made you co-heirs with him of everything the Father has given him, because of sinful flesh, satisfied. You desire to justify yourselves in your mixed-up priorities. Again, dear friends, this parable is a call to repentance and belief. For the one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and the one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? You need not start with much. It's actually only a matter of focus. And so the Lord is ever focusing you away from yourselves. And from that, the Lord sees your faithfulness, even in a little. Even a mustard seed begins with a tiny seed. Dear friends, the Lord simply needs to be your priority. The Lord wants you to hear and to act because He loves you. In just a few years, how many will even remember the score of the game? What kind of wheels you have on your car? What kind of jewelry you have worn? As God, through St. Paul, teaches you anew, God is faithful. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Dear friends, God is faithful. He gives you everything you need to live and to provide for your families, as is His strange way. He provides for you, even by taking from you. He takes your suffering and death to the cross. He atones for and forgives all of your sins and invites you into His kingdom with no strings attached, a free and full gift. He gives you eternal life and assures you that you are counted among the redeemed by holy baptism and by the faith that yet again He has given to you to begin with. All of this is yours, dear friends, by virtue of Christ Jesus, by His atoning blood, and according to His boundless love and mercy. You are rich beyond measure, and the Lord invites you into His kingdom, where you are privileged and inspired to work for Him. The greatest and most generous master of all, where you are paid an infinite sum, where you are entrusted with the true riches of eternal life. He, God, brings you to reprioritize by overcoming you. He brings you to evaluate your offerings to the church and stick with what is promised, or be moved to increase. He brings you to have a prayer life, to do home devotions, and be drawn here to receive the gifts that He has to give through His word and sacraments. He brings all of this about because of what Christ crucified has finished for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Dear friends, here is your way of escape. Here is the accounting that you will give by faith alone. And it is mountain that brings you to rest assured. Behold, God is faithful. Indeed, to him be praise, honor, and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.